You're listening to Engage with Andy Bush. To connect with the program today, please send an email to andrew.bush@comcast.net. That's andrew.bush@comcast.net. Now, back to this week's program.
Welcome back to Engage. I'm your host, Andy Bush. What a treat to have those two guests on this week to kind of discuss the lay of the land when it comes to what's happening in the financial markets. It has been a tumultuous, torturous, difficult week for people who were involved in the financial markets last week because of all the craziness that was going on with the drop in equity prices, with the concerns over global growth in Europe, in U.S., Fed pulling back, all this kind of stuff freaked out people. And we broke some technical levels in the S&P 500, specifically 1905. And this is something on charts that I've been putting out there for some time on andrewbush.com. If you get a chance, pull it up. You can see some of the blogs I've put out there. And I've had these discussions with other people. But what's fascinating to me is to have the perspective of someone like Gina Sanchez and Mark Malik, very different in their approach to looking at the world. Now, Gina obviously is the head of Chantico Global Research, or Global LLC. Her view was fascinating in that while things are not as terrible as most people thought they were, she's concerned about a lot of different areas in the world, specifically with the market's expectations for what earnings growth are going to be, and really what she said was on sales growth. And I think that's something that is important, and as she kind of walked through the earnings growth have held up, but sales aren't. So what does that mean? That the global economy is not growing as fast as what people are expecting. I mean, obviously this year, 2014, is a good example of that due to the polar vortex. But overall, even still, we're starting to see, you know, groups like the IMF downgrade their assessments for what's going to happen in 2014 from, you know, global growth of 4% down to 3.8%. And originally, remember that they had global growth at 6%. So that gives you a little context and framework to take a look at how the equity markets have been reacting towards we get into the difficult part of the year, especially October. So Gina thinks that there's more downside to happen in the equity markets. It won't be crazy, but she thinks that there has been this adjustment phase to market expectations for what not only earnings growth will be, but certainly what sales growth are going to be as we head into the end of the year and into 2015. And we talked about the United States. We talked about some of the issues with the Fed and the taper tantrum back in 2013. But overall, Gina believes that, you know, demand is really weak and credit remains tight. And ladies and gentlemen, credit, which is something I've been all over for some time, as you know, talking about the regulations that have put burdens on banks. And I know everybody hates banks, but trust me, these are the guys that, yes, you have to correct the excesses of 2007, but it's 2014. So we're fighting these battles that occurred back in 2007, 2008. Those battles mean that you don't get to get a loan. It means Ben Bernanke, former Fed of the chair and chair of the Federal Reserve, cannot get a loan to refi his house in Washington, D.C. That tells you everything you need to know about credit conditions in the United States. They're really tight for individuals. That's why you're not going to see the housing market come back as strong as it potentially could. That's why you're not going to see add-on business of durable goods, you know, seeing places like Home Depot and other places that supply the materials for building. They're just not going to perform as strongly as they would have if we had not seen either the Federal Reserve or the CFPB, or you go down the list of regulators out there putting pressure on banks to raise capital and not and shed some assets, and especially non-performing assets. So they're not in the, you know, in the vicinity of making aggressive loans anytime soon. That means demand's going to stay weak. That means the economy's not going to grow as much, and that holds back job growth. And it really holds back consumer spending and consumer confidence. So that's something to keep in mind. As you see savings go up, which of course is a good thing, you want to pay down debt, but it also holds back the economy from growing. So keep that in mind next time you think, oh, it doesn't matter who's in charge of Congress, or it doesn't matter who the president is as far as banking and regulations, whether I get a loan. ladies and gentlemen, it absolutely does matter. Now, Gina's also concerned about what's happening in Europe. We talked about the issues about global growth and especially what the ECB is doing on quantitative easing. She thinks it'll help, but ultimately that Europe has this really terrible history with inflation, and that's clouding their mindset, and they're remaining way too conservative on how to deal with the slow growth that's going on there and to reform their economies. And we talked about the upcoming October 26th stress tests, and those are the release of those could obviously be a seminal moment for banks in Europe where they can get back to the business of making some loans. We'll see what happens, but it's a changed playing field just as it is in the United States, and that's what I ran through. She also said that Chinese demand was a big problem for commodity producers, and she thinks 4-6% is about where they're going to grow going forward, and somewhat concurs with the conference board's assessment of 4% in 2020. So she believes we're at the end of a major commodity cycle and there's oversupply. I thought the best phrase she had was China's going to grow old before they grow rich. And that's something to keep in mind as I get older. I want to grow rich first, right? That's what we all want. All right. Switching gears to Mark Malik. It was fun to have a hedge fund on. I think that's the first time we've had one on Engage. I have to check with my producer, but he's got a global macro fund in which they can invest in bonds, stocks, and equities, and buy and sell both because that's what hedge funds do. They're not just long only. And he was actually a little bit more sanguine about what was going on in China, but specifically in the service sector, which to his defense, I think that's the right place to be in China. But he liked China tech, Indian tech, and Brazilian tech, and that's what Mark's really specialty is as far as looking at equities. So he likes the opportunities in those markets. Some of the basic materials, for individual investors, and here's what I thought was fun, was he was talking about using ETFs. Those are the best way of gaining access to these markets. He liked a lot of the leverage you could get in some of those two-for-one, shorts or long ETFs that you can buy into. And then you're limited in your risk, obviously, just to the investment as opposed to being in the futures market where you get the leverage that way, but you have, you only put forward a certain amount of margin. In buying an ETF, you put for all the capital that you're going to lose, and you don't have to put up any more if the prices move against you. So that's something to keep in mind. Mark also said that he liked EM heading into 2015. He liked U.S. healthcare. I'm kind of jumping all over the place looking at my notes. And I thought was really – here's what's crazy. Mark was a big bull, and I don't know if he was kind of joking. He said Dow 28,000, which makes me a little nervous. But I think it just depends on his time frame, and I forgot to ask him that. My guess is it's pretty long term. But in the short run, here's what he was saying about the top three currencies. As a bull and a positive guy, Mark was saying he likes to short the euro. He likes to be long the euro. My apologies, Mark. And he thinks it's going to go back up to 149, 150. He likes cable, the British pound, to go from 160 to 2. And he really likes the story in the UK. He's also long the US dollar against the Hong Kong dollar and long the US dollar against the Japanese yen. So those are fun perspectives. Take them into consideration. Look at what your own portfolios have. It's nice that the equities have rebounded, but I think the major thing, in accordance with what Gina was saying, is that things have changed. And that's what you really have to take into consideration when you're looking at all of your investments. I'm Andy Bush. This is Engage. Have a great weekend.
Thank you for tuning in this week to Engage with Andy Bush. We'll be back again next Friday at noon in the West, 3 p.m. in the East, on the Voice America Business Channel. We'll have more insights and discussions then.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program, brought to you on the Voice America Business Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericabusiness.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.